You thought your worst nightmare was coming upon you. Have to listen to me. Hey, we are in the book of John. Wednesday nights, we are going verse by verse through this book. We're in chapter 18 this Wednesday night. If you'd like to study this book in depth, then join with us, 7 o'clock. Normally we're right here, but this Wednesday, we happen to be back in, it's a fountain area right behind me here, about 100 yards. So that's where we're meeting, just this Wednesday. Next Wednesday, we're back here. So grab a Bible. If you don't have a Bible, raise your hand. We will give you a Bible. You can take it home, or you can drop it off on the way out. So if you want one, raise your hand. We'll let you borrow one, or keep it if you like. When you have a Bible, turn to John 18, starting right at verse 15. John 18, 15. Simon Peter followed Jesus, and so did another disciple. That disciple was known unto the high priest, and went in with Jesus into the palace of the high priest. But Peter stood at the door without. Then went out that other disciple, which was known unto the high priest. And he spake unto her that kept the door and brought in Peter. Then said the damsel that kept the door unto Peter, Are not thou also one of this man's disciples? And he said, I am not. And the servants and officers stood there, who had made a fire of coals, for it was cold, and they warmed themselves. And Peter stood with them and warmed himself. Then skip down to finish this to verse 25. And Simon Peter stood and warmed himself. And they said therefore unto him, Art not thou also one of his disciples? And he denied it, and said, I am not. And one of the servants of the high priest, being his kinsman, whose ear Peter cut off, said, Did not I see thee in the garden with him? Peter then denied again, and immediately the cock crew. Father, I thank you for the examples of men and women in your word, how we can glean from them, learn from them, and avoid the same mistakes as them. So instruct us this morning by your word. In Jesus' name, amen. There was a commercial that I can remember as a child watching. It starts out with a close-up of a man's face. It's this cord. It starts out with a close-up of a man's face that is running. His hair and his gray gym shirt are soaked with sweat. And slowly the camera begins to pan back from this man running. And you hear a child's voice that says, When I grow up, I want to be a marathon runner. And all of a sudden, as that camera's panning back, you're getting to view more and more of this man. You see this arm come out of nowhere with a blue long sleeve shirt on and grab this man's shoulder and pull him to the ground. And the final shot is of a police officer handcuffing that man and another voice saying, No child ever dreams they'll grow up to be a druggie. Say no to drugs. Sticky commercial. I remember it to this day. The idea is simple in that commercial. No one plans on failing. No one plans on living a life of crime. No one plans on getting involved in drugs, yet tragically, too many take that path. Tragically, like that man, they end up doing things they never planned. And I can bet that man must have wondered, where did I go wrong? How did I end up here? What's the matter with me? I bet those same questions were going through Peter's mind as he denied Jesus Christ 3 times. My best friend, I gave up everything to follow him. I've been with him for 3.5 years. I've defended him. I've lived with him. Now I'm denying him? How did I get here? What happened to me? What's the matter with me? I bet there are some in here who might say the same thing. How did I get here? How did I end up going back to that garbage? I used to serve the Lord. I was with him for 3 years, for 30 years. How did I end up blowing it? How did I end up making these mistakes? I never planned on doing this. I never thought this would happen to me. Where did I go wrong? I know I can say that. I know that I've done things that I never imagined I could since I've been a believer. I can sin like that, like Peter. I can deny like that, Lord. How did I get here? Where did I go wrong? What's the matter with me? We can say. We say we fell into sin. I fell. That's not really the truth. Sin is really a pathway, and we walk into it step by step by step. It's not a momentary lapse. It's a pathway. And if you and I, which we'll do this morning, look at Peter's life, we'll see this path to the pit followed by Peter. See, this is just part of the story here in John chapter 18. We get the rest of the story in Matthew chapter 26. Turn over there with me as we see Peter's path to the pit. As we see him following along in a way that always leads to sin. And if we learn this pathway, you and I as believers can put the brakes on way before we slide into the pit of sin. Check it out with me, Matthew chapter 26. Starting in verse 31, we see step number one to the pathway of the pit. Step number one, verse 31. This is the Last Supper. Judas Iscariot has left, gone out to betray Jesus. The 11 disciples are left there, and Jesus looks at them after taking communion, and in verse 31 he says this, "All you shall be offended because of me this night. For it is written, I will smite the shepherd, and the sheep of the flock shall be scattered abroad. But after I am risen, again I will go before you into Galilee." Then Peter answered and said unto him, "Though all men shall be offended because of thee, yet will I never be offended." Jesus, all of you will be offended. Peter, no way, not me. Step number one in Peter's path to the pit, step number one is arrogance. He was arrogant. "I'm the exception, Jesus. Your sermon, that message, that word, for the other 10. Not for me. This is Super Simon Peter. Don't you know me? Those guys, that applies to them. That does not apply to me. I'm the exception to the rule." Arrogance. "It'll never happen to me, Lord." "It'll happen to those 10. Not me." In fact, he would later even swear his life on it. "I'd rather die than do that." Arrogance. Beware of arrogance. No matter who you are, no matter where you've been, beware of arrogance. I have a study that I have at home. It's very sobering to me. It was done by Dr. Howard Hendricks. He took a look at 246 pastors. These are guys that had studied for many, many years to get their doctorates of divinity. They were serious people when it comes to serving the Lord. These 246 pastors, all of them had been sidelined from the ministry within 2 years. And so this interested Dr. Hendricks. So he took a look at them to see if there's some similarities between all 246. And what he found was this. Number one, all 246 of these pastors, sidelined within 2 years, all of them failed to belong to an accountability group. I don't need other people. I'm a lone ranger, just me and God. Number two, they said, all of them, number two, stopped having their daily devotions. I've got a doctorate. I don't need to study anymore. I know the word, they would say. And then thirdly, finally, all of them said, it'll never happen to me. It'll never happen to me. I'm the exception to the rule. That stuff applies to other people, weak people, not to me. Not to me. I'm a pastor. But 80% of them, over 200 out of these 246 that were studied by Dr. Hendricks, 200 of them ended up being sidelined from the ministry because they had a sexual relationship with someone that was not their wife. 200 of them. Serious guys. Arrogant, though. Step number one, they were arrogant. Beware of that, saying, I'm the exception. That was a great message for my wife. That was a great message for my brother-in-law. That was a great message for my neighbor, but I'm the exception. I don't need to heed that. Beware of that. The Bible warns against it. It says, to him that stands, take heed, lest you fall. I'm standing. I'm strong. Don't worry about me. I got it handled. The Bible says, take heed, lest you fall. Well, how do you take heed? I believe it's real simple. How do you and I take heed? How do you and I prevent arrogance? The disciples came to Jesus and said, teach us how to pray in Luke chapter 11. And so Jesus gave them another edition of the Lord's Prayer there in Luke 11. And in verse 4, he says this, pray to the Father like this, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Pray that, he told those disciples. That prayer is simply this. Lead us not into temptation. Don't lead me into temptation, Lord. I can't handle it. Don't tempt me, Lord. I know I'm weak. That's what it's admitting. It's not, I'm going to take on the devil. I can take on that temptation. Look out for me. No, it's, Lord, I'm weak. Lead me not into temptation. But deliver me from evil. Deliver me. You take care of me. Your strength be with me. That's the key. Realizing you're weak and relying on his strength. It's that simple. And I would suggest every morning you and I should pray that prayer. Lord, this day, I realize I'm weak. This day, lead me not into temptation. This day, deliver me from evil. Let me rely upon your strength. And here's what happens to you. Mark it down. 2 Corinthians 12, verse 9. Paul's talking about his weaknesses. And the Father answers Paul there in 2 Corinthians 12, 9. And says to Paul this, my grace is sufficient for thee. My strength is made perfect in your weakness. And so Paul says, wow, I'm going to glory in my weaknesses that the power of Christ might rest upon me. That's what it is. Lord, I'm weak. I'm weak and I need your strength. So this morning, every morning, deliver me from that evil. Lead me not into temptation. That's what you do to prevent arrogance. Those pastors, they didn't do it. Peter, he didn't either. Lord, I'm the exception. Arrogance. But there's another danger to arrogance. Perhaps it's even worse than self-reliance. It's much more subtle, though. What I've found is when I'm arrogant, it almost always leads to apathy, laziness. When I'm arrogant, it almost always leads me to be full of apathy, full of laziness. I learned this in the business world. I got a call one morning from Dr. Dave Gobley. He was our resident PhD at the place that I worked. And he had a family emergency and couldn't make this Environmental Protection Agency conference in Las Vegas the next day. And so he said, Matt, could you do this for me? Could you fill in for me? I said, well, what are you doing? And he said, it's just a question and answer session, Q&A time. And I said, oh, piece of cake, I got it handled. Hung up the phone. And I did. That's what I did all the time. I thought, no problem. Question and answer. I can do that. Well, there was a little voice that said, you should call them. You should call them and really find out what you might have to do. No, This is what I do for a living. No problem. And besides, I thought, I'll get there this evening. I'll show up. I'll check it out. I'll find out what I need to do. Then I'll have time to do it. Full of apathy. Well, I went to Medford International Airport. I got there. My plane landed, taking me to San Francisco, then to Las Vegas. And I waited for passengers to get off the plane. Nobody did. Half an hour went by. Finally, there was an announcement. We're having problems with our plane. We can't open the door. Medford International Airport. And so we watched now with quite a lot of amusement. Another half an hour went by. They've been an hour sitting there. Then an hour and a half goes by. All of a sudden, a door opens, but not the normal door. It's the emergency door. And out flops that little raft thing, you know, that you kind of slide down. And this one passenger with his briefcase hops off and slides down and walks away. No one else got off for about 5 minutes. Then all the other passengers got off that way. An announcement came. One of the passengers opened the emergency door. And the FAA requires if the emergency door is open that that plane be grounded. So, San Francisco passengers, you're headed to Portland. So I flew from San Francisco to Portland, waited for a flight, got a flight into San Francisco, got there real late. Couldn't have made it to Las Vegas, so I had to stay the night in a hotel. Well, as I was walking to the hotel, I thought, I should get on the internet and just check out what this conference is all about. I'm tired, though. Went to bed. Get there to the conference the next day. I show up. I start to get my name tag, get checked in. Excuse me, this thing's starting to move on me. I get checked in. The host of the conference comes up to me, sees my name tag. Oh, good, you're here. You're on in 20 minutes. I'm what in 20 minutes? You're on in 20 minutes. On for what? Your hour and a half presentation. 20 minutes, hour and a half presentation. That's fuzzy math. That just doesn't add up. And I'll tell you what, I flopped there. I go in, it's full of PhDs and managers and customers of mine. And to this day, I can't believe that many people could sleep with all those lights on. I must have asked the host 3 or 4 times, is my time up yet? No. You got an hour left. Arrogance led me to be full of apathy. I got it handled. I do this all the time. Piece of cake. Arrogance almost always leads to apathy, and it happens to Peter. Check it out. Look with me at verse 40. We see Peter getting filled with apathy. Verse 40. And Jesus now has gone to the Garden of Gethsemane. He's asked 3 of his disciples, James, John, and Peter, to pray with him. And so now he comes back to them. Verse 40. He came unto the disciples and found them asleep. And he said unto Peter, he doesn't say to James or to John, says it to Peter. Why? Because Peter was the one that was arrogant. I'll never leave you. I'll always be there. I'm the exception. He said unto Peter, what? Could you not watch with me 1 hour? Verse 41, watch and pray that you enter not into temptation. Arrogant. It'll never happen to me, Lord. That's for other people. Now he's full of apathy. He's sleeping when he should be praying. That will always happen to you when you're arrogant. Why should you pray? If Peter thought, I'm above the law. Those rules don't apply to me. Why would he pray, lead me not in temptation? Why would he pray, deliver me from evil? It's not going to happen to me. I don't need to pray that way. Arrogance will almost always lead to apathy, sleeping when we should be praying, disengaged, like Peter is here. Could you not pray 1 hour? And then apathy always produces the next step in this path to the pit. Flip over to verse 57. Now, they've come. Judas has betrayed Jesus with a kiss. They've grabbed him, and it says, verse 57, and they that had laid hold on Jesus led him away to Caiaphas the high priest, where the scribes and the elders were assembled. But, verse 58, Peter followed him afar off. Arrogance. Apathy, then you find yourself afar off. Peter used to be right next to Jesus' side. Peter used to be his right-hand man, always next to him, close to him. Now he's following afar off. He's backed away. He's disengaged. Arrogance, apathy, than afar off. What you'll find is, you know what? It's too early to go at 9:30 in the morning. I went last week. I don't need to go this week. Wednesday night, I know that stuff already. I don't want to go to that. Home fellowships, you know, I'd rather watch something on TV. You start to disengage, you start to back off, you stop following as closely as you used to. The apathy leads to following afar off, just like it did to Peter. You're not as engaged, not as involved. I don't like to serve anymore. It's not fulfilling me. I'm not getting my needs met there. I'm going to call up and quit. You start to follow afar. And that is the most dangerous place to be. Because in the book of Deuteronomy, a very interesting picture is found in Deuteronomy chapter 25, verses 17 and 18. It says there was this man named Amalek who followed the children of Israel around with his army. And it says he would wait for people to get back from the pack. They would start to lag behind, disengage from the main congregation. And it says Amalek would come and smite those that were in the hindmost parts. Those that started to disengage, those that started to back off, the enemy Amalek would take out. And I believe our enemy is the same exact type of method, uses the same methodology today. He waits for us to back off. Stop being engaged. Stop going for it. And then he says, I'm picking you off. And inevitably, what will happen once we start to follow afar off, inevitably, back to John chapter 18, we'll find ourselves, John 18. Verse 18. And the servants and officers stood there. These are the enemies. These are the guys that just arrested Jesus Christ. The enemies, the servants and officers stood there. They had made a fire of coals, for it was cold, and they warmed themselves. And Peter stood with them and warmed himself. You'll find yourself, finally, at the enemy's fire. Arrogant, doesn't apply to me. Apathy, don't want to do it anymore. Afar off, you start disengaging. Then finally, you'll find yourself at the enemy's fire. You're hanging out with people that you said, I'll never hang out with them anymore. You're going to locations that you said, I can't be there, that leads me astray. You're doing things you never imagined you could do, but you're back at the enemy's fire. So what happens to me, so what happens to you when we go down the path that Peter shows us, the path to the pit? Arrogance, apathy, afar off, and finally at the enemy's camp. Matt, you've described me to a T. I was engaged before. I was there with the Lord before. I was excited about the things of the Lord, but slowly I've gone down this path. I thought I was above those rules. I thought those messages didn't apply to me. I've grown full of apathy. Now I follow Jesus afar off, and I'm doing things I never imagined I could do. What's the solution for me? What's the answer for me? What do I do? I don't want to be here anymore. I've asked myself, how did I get here? What's the matter with me? What do I do? Let me give you the best advice I've ever received when I was in a Peter position. When I had followed that path to the pit, let me give you the best advice. And if you're doing well, write this down. Because I give this advice all the time to believers. I follow it myself. It's from Jesus Christ himself. Write down Revelation chapter 2, verses 4 and 5. Jesus is talking to a church there, believers like you and me. And he says to this church there in Ephesus, a church that did so well with the Lord for so many years. Read the book of Ephesians. They had a great love for the Lord. They did great things for God. But in verse 4, Jesus says this. He says, nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee because you have left your first love. You left your first love. You were engaged. You were involved. You were at Bible study. You were at home fellowships. You were leading Bible studies, but now you've gone to falling afar off. You're at the enemy's fire. You left your first love, like this church. And Jesus now gives the divine cure. Check out verse 5. Jesus says this, Remember therefore from whence thou art fallen, and repent, and do those first works again. This is what I want to leave you with. Those that have been in a Peter position like I've been in, those that are going down that path to the pit, here's the divine cure. Remember, repent, redo. It's that simple. Remember from where you've fallen. What did you do when you were doing well with the Lord? What were your activities? What were you involved in? Well, man, I was going every Sunday. I was going Wednesday. I was involved in a men's Bible study. I was involved in a women's Bible study. I was going to home fellowships. I was reading my Bible. I was praying. I was putting on tapes. I was engaged. Remember from where you've fallen. Repent. See, God didn't leave you. You left God. God, it's my fault. I've moved away from you. You've always been there. You're the same yesterday, today, and forever. You haven't changed. I've changed. I've left my first love, and I'm sorry for that. And then thirdly, redo those first works again. Get back into Bible study. Listen to those tapes or CDs. Start that Bible study back up. Go to a home fellowship. Go to noon worship. Take communion. Whatever you were doing when you were doing well, get back to that. That's Jesus Christ's divine cure. When we've strayed, when we've grown arrogant, full of apathy, followed him afar, and now we're at the enemy's camp, Jesus would say to you and to me that are in a Peter position, remember, repent, and redo. Go back to that place of your first love. It's that simple. And what you'll find is this. You don't need the enemy's fire anymore. You don't need to gain satisfaction from those places, from those people. What you'll find is a fire is ignited inside of you. You don't need to be warmed by that. There's now an internal fire in you that's warming you from the inside out. There's satisfaction. There's joy. There's peace. There's a feeling of God's Spirit that comes upon you. You won't even want the enemy's fire anymore. I don't need that. I found my first love again, the best love I'll ever find. It's that simple, Edgewater Christian Fellowship. No matter if you're doing well or not, remember the divine advice of our great physician. Remember, repent, redo. And it's that simple. The Bible promises this. James chapter 4, verse 8. If you will draw nigh to God, he will. Not he might. Not he'll think about it. Not if you're really good. He says he will draw near to you. He desires to be close to you. He's your Father. All you have to do is just Revelation chapter 2, verse 5. Remember, repent, redo. And Father, this morning, I pray for those of us that have strayed a little bit. We were so close to you. We were doing so well with you. We had such great fellowship with you, but something's happened to us. We've gone down that path to the pit. And I pray, Lord, that this morning, there would be a restoring of that fire inside of our soul. That there would be a reigniting of our love for you. That there would be, Lord, a filling of our spirit with your spirit, that we would truly go back to the place of our first love, finding satisfaction there, not wanting the enemy's fire any longer, but being filled with the fire of the Holy Spirit. So Lord, even this morning, do that in Edgewater Christian Fellowship. Do that in my heart, Father God. I repent that I'm not where I should be. I repent, Lord, that I could be closer to you. But this morning, Lord, I want to draw close to you, knowing that you will draw close to me and fill me and empower me. Thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. If there's anyone that says, you know, I'd like some prayer on this. That was a message for me. Leadership's going to be right over here, kind of in the shade. The first ones over there will be in the shade. Those that are slow will not. If you want prayer, come down here. I'll be down there. Let us pray for you. Pray that God will fill you and empower you, reignite that fire within you, and he'll do that. It's a promise of God for you. God bless you guys. See you next Sunday or Wednesday.